today on Movie Well as we give you a bucket load of streaming picks for these crazy days. Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, D as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theaters, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you.
Although, no in the movies and no in the back of an airplane.
For the time being, yep. For sure, yes.
Because so, we're all in our little bunkers. The end of the world is nigh.
We are.
We are, yes. So, to provide some context, today is Thursday, March 19th. I'm not sure that's when I'll put the podcast out, but it'll go out hopefully in the not-too-distant future. And we are in the midst of a global pandemic, which are words that I never thought I would ever utter on this podcast or in life in general. So, clearly...
Well, let's hope it's something we don't have to say for too much longer.
Well, clearly there is something afoot with the world.
Yeah, who would have thought strange. That one of the smallest living organisms, some may argue it's not actually living, it's non-living, a virus would bring the most evolved species to its knees. And in 2020, the Spanish flu and all that happened about 100 years ago. Even a month ago, this would have been unthinkable. And here we are with everything shut down. Around the
and
world.
Shutting down, mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah, no, Rashmi, you just heard, I think before the podcast, that San Diego is going to essentially go on lockdown, which we've been kind of doing anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think all three of us, the hypocrisy of us sitting together in a room here recording a podcast, notwithstanding, are big advocates for social distancing.
And yes. We have been keeping our distance. Yes.
No, I was kidding. But the one thing that I think... all of us can do, healthy, young, old, is let's help this thing not to spread everywhere.
Yeah, stay away from each other.
And watching movies. Like, how bad could it be?
Yeah, and that's what we figured we'd do. It was actually a great idea that was suggested by one of our avid listeners and dear friends of ours, Sandy, who said, are you guys going to do a Netflix or a streaming episode? Mm-hmm. And I suggested it to Yazdi and Joe, and they were like, yeah, that's a great idea. So thanks to Sandy, we are providing this service.
Well, it's also a bit self-serving. We like to do podcasts.
We do, yes.
And there's no material.
And we wanted to see Yazdi.
A lot of the big movies, because San Diego is on lockdown. Yazdi, you were saying earlier, the movie theaters around town are all shuttered.
Yeah, they're shuttered. And I think we are not alone. I think around the world, they're shuttered or in the process of being shuttered, because there is no place like a movie theater where people get very close to each other in their seats. And I think for a while... And it's nice and warm, yeah. And I think for a while, AMC and Landmark and ArcLight and a few others tried social distancing, where they said they would only sell tickets enough for half the number of people so you could keep a distance. But I think even then, it did not meet the California guidance for no more than 10 people getting together in a space, yes.
Well, I have to say, Rashmi and I went last week to see the movie Extraordinary.
Yes.
And...
there were six people in the whole theater.
Did a very funny thing. I think the software that they were using to kind of space people out had glitched, because there were six people in the entire theater, as Rashmi said, and we were all in the same row.
Oh, goodness.
And we were all adjacent, which made no sense. So we decided
to
self-space, but it was really quite funny. I was like, okay, I think this isn't quite what they had in mind when they said we're only going to fill to half capacity.
So I think it's clearly not working. And look, the right thing.
Yeah.
That everyone's done is said, just don't leave your house. We're going to give you so many things to watch that you're not going to want to leave your home.
This is the beauty of the age in which we live.
Yep.
Is that, there's some movies that I've been really looking forward to. The release date has been pushed out, which is kind of a bummer. You know, it's done for economic reasons. Some studios, I think, are doing... quick to streaming. So I heard recently, I think Universal is going to put out The Invisible Man, mm-hmm. which is the podcast immediately before this one that we recorded. So that I think is going to be released for like $20 as a home streaming.
It's $20 for your whole home can watch it, and it's high def, and it's a good enough thing. I mean, they released it in the theaters just as the coronavirus hit, so I think it makes sense that you know, that they try and recoup some of their profits. So, you know, it's a brand new movie. It's a good movie, as we talked about in our last podcast. It makes sense. For $20, your whole family can watch it.
But let's talk about the psychology of that, because, I mean, I do balk at this, the cost of, you know, streaming when you've got all this Netflix choice. But at the same time, I recognize that, you know, early access to these movies is like a really cool thing. And, you know, I think nothing of going to the movie theater on a Friday night, you know, buying a couple tickets at $15 a pop, $20 a pop, whatever they cost these days. Parking, gas, you know, popcorn. Like, you know, $20 is nothing. It's actually a steal when you think about, you know, the quality of entertainment that you can get from some movies. And yeah, you know, from time to time you might pick a turkey. But I think we should applaud the studios for trying to do something like that.
Yeah, totally. And I don't begrudge them for charging.
And at the end of the day,
$20.
It's kind of like iPhone apps, right? People, oh God, I don't want to spend a dollar on an iPhone app. But I mean, you know, it's you would spend like $6 on a coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
And you know, I think I'm single, so for me, $20 seems a little bit higher, maybe $3-4 more than I would normally pay. But at any of these luxury movies, cinemas easily are paying $17, $18, $19. But I realize I'm not the typical person. Most people is a family of at least two. And even with a family of two, $20, you're coming out ahead than watching it in the movie. And you can stop and you can pause and, you know,
refill your strawberry milkshake.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's only at the cinema.
And you can have your dog or your cat with you.
Correct, in your lap. And you can
jump. That's the most delicious thing about
it. I love it.
I was going to say, I think coronavirus is maybe, you know, the secret life of pets. I think there's like a lab somewhere where some budding Labrador decided, you know, these people go out too much. I'm going to concoct something to keep them in. But yeah, no, it's strange days. We're not quite sure where this is all going to end. But in the meantime, let's be thankful for Apple TVs and Rokus and, you know,
Amazon sticks
and whatnot. All these kind of things that we can use to stream to our TVs, smart TVs, lots of services. So we're not going to, you know, we don't even have access to things like Disney Plus, but that's a service that has got a ton of streaming content. Don't forget, you can rent movies on if you have an Apple TV. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really, you know, Amazon does it too, Google. I mean, there's so many ways to access great movies if you're stuck at home.
And most of them are like $3, $4, $5. And again, if you're stuck at home with your kids and they have, everybody's pulling their hair out because they've been together since 7 in the morning, rent a movie for $3 for the next 2 hours. You don't need to worry and, you know, just unwind a little bit. Absolutely.
And I think some of the services are actually putting their prices down for the next 3 months. Yeah, I can't remember which. I think I read one about, maybe it's Prime. I can't remember anyway.
Yeah, and
keep a lookout, because I think as these streaming organizations realize that they can help to keep people indoors, they may be doing interesting things with their pricing in favor of the public.
Yeah, and I mean, I think now would be a good time to mention that everybody is kind of acknowledging how strange and unprecedented these times are. And so if you don't have them, we'll include them in the show notes, but there are links which have, you know, virtual tours of museums. You know, you can be at your home and you could go through an entire museum. There are virtual, I think the New York Met is going to have its entire spring season of ballets and so forth. They're going to perform it and it's going to be free. You can watch it from home. What else is free? A lot of musicians are doing concerts from their living room, essentially. I think Coldplay did that. Willie Nelson did that.
The hashtag together.
John
Legend did it.
I think so. Bono just did one today.
Oh, is that right?
So all on Instagram. Yeah. All on Instagram.
Instagram Live. And, you know, it's great that ordinarily you would have to pay hundreds of dollars to see these people. So I think as unusual and scary and anxious as these times are, I think there are a few advantages that you get access to all of these things right now, and we should make the most of it while we're stuck in our respective homes.
And we'll see how it goes. And that's could be a couple
and
of weeks.
Tell us if you like the way this show is, and then we can do more of these, because God knows we've been streaming a lot.
We have been. So with that, I guess, you know, we haven't really pre-produced the show in any way. We're going to kind of go with it. Rashmi, I know you've done a good amount of homework. Yazdi, I think you have
only
too.
Only because someone asked me and said, can you send me a list? And I felt bad just putting, like, you know, a pile of names. So I actually divided it up. So I thought, oh, I can use it for today's show.
That's cool.
So I think the way we can do it is we can all go through our list of names. And then, of course, we'll you know,
interject. Yeah.
Assuming we have a list of names. Yes. Yeah. Looking at me, who has not done
so this? So I'll give Joe, I'll give you time and I'll go through my list.
Yes.
And Yazdi, if you have others that you want to add, I'll pause at the end of each bucket.
Sure.
So you can add. Okay. And Joe, you too, even though I know you do. You have a few on Netflix, I know, that you watch. Okay. Amazon Prime binge-worthy series. So Jack Ryan...
Mm-hmm.
Starring the wonderful John Krasinski, mm-hmm. who's not only talented as a director,
mm-hmm.
But also a great actor in this series, and it's really good. It's kind of it's along the lines of Homeland.
When did you watch that? I didn't know you'd been watching that.
I watched it.
What?
I spent a couple of months on a plane quite a lot, Joe.
Not one word to me.
Really?
Has been mentioned of you watching the Jack Ryan show.
Very good. He's very good. So it's very Homeland-esque, but it's very exciting and very binge-worthy. I think it's on season two. I haven't seen season two, but I did watch season one.
Okay.
The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I've talked about.
I've seen
ad nauseum.
Yeah, I've seen the first season. Yes.
And love.
Did you like it yesterday? Because
I did.
I know Rashmi has been gushing about that show.
It takes some getting used to because it's very anachronistic in that it's set in the olden age, but it has sort of a modern sensibility. So, and Rachel Brosnahan, who plays the main character, she's great. But it's from Amy Sherman-Palladino. So if you have the sensibility from
Gilmore Girls
or...
But it's more serious than Gilmore Girls. It's not as frothy. It's frothy and bright. It comes across like a comedy, but it actually tackles some quite serious issues.
Yeah.
About
women and about
their
place in society and about time. Yeah.
And it's got... And I think I've said this on previous podcasts, the costume is phenomenal. I just marvel at the marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah. So, and Tony Shalhoub is in it.
Tony Shalhoub is excellent. You know, this show has continuously been winning Emmys and Globes and other awards. So it's definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now on season three. I've been savoring season three because I don't want it to end, but I have watched the first two. Yes, you said you watched the first series?
Just the first season, yes.
Okay. And then my last binge-worthy series, I mean, I could go on, but I'll save those, is Fleabag. I would describe it as a dark British comedy. It breaks the fourth wall, so it's very interesting. This took me a while to get into. I'd started hearing a lot about Fleabag. And it started winning a ton of awards last year. And I thought I really ought to give it a chance, especially because it's British. And I must say, it did take me a good 4 episodes to get into
it.
Oh,
really? Okay, it took me 2.
Yeah, because I just couldn't get over how unlikable the lead character was. It does this interesting thing when no one's got a name. Mm-hmm. Everyone's referred to by the role that they're playing. Mm-hmm.
The cook
very
and the
good.
Priest and
very good. So they were my top 3 Amazon Prime binge-worthy series.
Yeah.
Yazdi, did you have any others that you wanted to add?
Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who wrote this.
Wrote and stars.
Wrote and starred.
And directed, didn't she?
And, yeah, I believe. No,
maybe
I
she directed some episodes. She also, by the way, wrote Killing Eve, which is on BBC America.
And Crashing, which is on Netflix.
Correct. So she is...
I haven't seen
that,
though, yet.
Prolific, and I think she's involved in a few movies as well now. But I was like, what's the big deal about her? And I started watching Fleabag. The first one, you're right, she's very unlikable. But then by the time I got to the second or third one, I was kind of hooked. And
me
I was,
too.
And because her voice is so unique and it's so honest, like cringingly honest. Cringingly, I'm like, don't say that. I don't want to need, nobody needs to know that. But it's because she's so utterly honest that it kind of buys your faith and buys your, it comes across as very authentic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, apparently the character was something experimentative that she did at the Edinburgh Festival a couple of years ago.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an improv character, I think. Yeah. People wanted more.
I thought it was meant to be semi-autobiographical. So I'm glad to know it's not.
Yeah. Well, you know, there may be elements. She's not like that
in real life. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Any others that you want to add to the list, Yazdi, that you've been watching on Amazon?
No, I have movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe,
yeah.
Any that you want to add from Amazon Prime?
I mean, really just the obvious stuff. So I've been a huge fan of the British TV show Top Gear for years and years. And a couple of years ago, there was some shenanigans. A few guys got kicked out of the BBC, Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Richard Hammond, who were the stars of the original show. So they've got a series on Amazon Prime called The Grand Tour. You would have to have been living under a rock to have not heard about this, but it's just so entertaining. If it's yes, ostensibly it's a car show, but it really isn't. These are three really, you know, middle-aged guys who get up to various shenanigans with, you know, loosely related around cars. You know, if you want a taste for the kind of comedy that they do, they did a special released, I think, in December of this year called Seamen. Seamen, as in three guys on the sea.
On the ship,
who are also men. But that gives you a sense of the kind of comedy that they have. But it's just a great special. It's basically a journey through Vietnam in boats.
Oh.
They're on their own trying to get their way through what was essentially one of the major supply routes during the Vietnam War. And it has some history in there. It has some comedy, a lot of malarking, you know. But the three of them have to deal with some really interesting, strange situations. And they've got
a great chemistry. I mean, I'm not a car person, but inevitably I used to be dragged along since Joe had it on. It's actually very entertaining as a show.
So the Grand Tour would be my would be my pick. And then there's a spin-off from that. James May, one of the characters, has a show called James May in Japan, which I haven't watched yet, but it's reviewed brilliantly. So it's the one I'm looking forward to watching while we, you know, kind of deal with our potential lock-in. And we want to change the channel from CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, whatever that is. So a couple of extra ones there.
I was just looking up shows on Amazon Prime, and two I'd like to recommend. One is 30 Rock. And I know 30 Rock is a very particular kind of brew, and it, again, takes a while for people to get into that kind of humor. But once you're in, you're in. And I pray at the church of Tina Fey. Everything she does is brilliant. So the whole entire six or seven seasons of 30 Rock is there. And then the other one that I've heard a lot about, and it's reviewed brilliantly, I've always wanted to get to it, but I haven't had a chance to, and I'm hoping during these times while you're working from home and have nothing to do in the evening, that I'll catch up, and is a original Amazon series called Modern Love. And it's based on every New York Times magazine, the Sunday magazine, has a
column, right? Like a little
column
section
called Modern Love. And it's not romantic at all, just to be very clear. It's how modern love is, how different kinds of love manifest themselves. And sometimes it's romantic, amorous, but not always. And every kind of unusual combinations and so forth. And so more often than not, those are more wistful kind of stories, but they've used those stories to put together a whole anthology of different segments, and Anne Hathaway is in some of them. Dev Patel and so forth. So, I've heard it's really, really good.
So I didn't look forward to that.
Okay.
And
when do you watch all these shows?
It wasn't my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's 8 in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 2 were excellent.
Okay.
4 were averaging and 2 were okay.
Okay.
But I'd like you to watch them, Yazdi, because, you know, you are the love bug amongst us.
Yes, I am.
You have a bigger heart.
No, I just am a sap.
Maybe a more mushy heart than the rest of us around the table.
Yes.
So I would like you to watch it and then tell me what you think.
Okay.
Okay, so let's move on to Amazon Prime documentaries. So again, I have 3.
Okay.
One Child Nation, which was the history of the policy that the Chinese undertook. Kind of timely now that we're talking about the Chinese.
It was one of the movies nominated for Best Documentary this year.
A really good documentary called Generation Wealth. I actually watched that on the back of an airplane, and it just talks about wealth, really, in the modern day. Not like a VH1, you know, not one of those
kind lifestyles of the rich
lifestyles and famous. Of the rich and famous, but just kind of how we view wealth and how wealth gets together, blah, blah, blah. And then one that I never thought I would recommend, but there's a really good documentary about the Jonas Brothers called Chasing Happiness. And I think that was the name of their album. And I was interested in it because, I don't know, I just thought this will be interesting. And it really is. And it's about how they, what led to the breakup. And now they've just got back together again and kind of what led to the making up of them. And it's interesting because, look, these were three brothers who got tremendous success at a very young age. And how do you then break up without breaking up your relationship as brothers? So it's a really interesting documentary, Chasing Happiness. Okay. They were my three docs. Yes, Dee.
So not to steal the thunder, but everything that I'm going to recommend when it's my turn is, no, after you're done with yours, is I think these are troubled times. These are anxious times. These are times where things are unpredictable. You don't know for the health of yourself or more so your older, you know, families and family and friends. So I have very intentionally, everything I have picked is movies or shows which are kind of comfort food, which make you happy, which make you smile. And most documentaries kind
of make me groan.
You know, towards misery. So okay. I've kind of shied away from them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So I don't have any recommendations.
Okay, no docs.
No docs.
Okay,
no.
Joe, any docs from Amazon Prime for you?
I mean, I didn't specially pick any out. I mean, what I have, watched a lot of on Amazon are Everest and mountain climbing documentaries, so I think
they never end well.
Into the Void is got to be a classic recommendation. I know I've mentioned it many times on our regular segment of I Can't Find Anything to Watch on VOD, but that's a really gripping account of the climber's accident. There's a movie which name escapes me. I'm desperately trying to find it here. All about kind of the food industry and things like that. So I'll find that in a second. But you know, nothing that pops up.
Okay, so final two for me on Amazon. They're Prime movies. Britney Runs a Marathon, which yes. we all loved mm-hmm. from last year, probably around summer of last year. We did a podcast on it. Really, really sweet movie. That's a feel-good movie, I would say.
For sure. It's on my list right here.
Oh, yay.
It is. Yes.
Okay. And mine.
Oh, yay. And the last one.
So, unanimous recommendation from all three of us. Britney Runs a Marathon. Yes. Go see it, please. Yes. It's free on Amazon Prime.
Yes, yes. And Honey Boy. Oh, we didn't get a chance to really talk about Honey Boy during award season last year. You know, it would if the films hadn't been so good last year, it would have probably made my top 10. I think it was somewhere in my top 15 or 20. It's almost some semi-autobiographical mm-hmm. Shia LaBeouf.
And has
great performances by all three versions of him.
Yeah, Noah Jupe himself and...
Lucas Hedges,
yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Playing younger and older... Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And then Shia LaBeouf actually playing his own father.
Father, yeah.
Which was really a good performance. Okay.
If 2019 were not such an incredible amazing year, this movie would have gotten a lot of awards traction, but it just did not because there was so much other stuff which was sucking up all the oxygen in the room. Anyway.
You got any schmaltz for us, Yasti?
Yeah, give us some schmaltz.
I'll wait for my... I'll wait.
Are they Amazons? These are Amazons?
Some of them are Amazons.
Okay.
So, I think if you want... If you've grown up in Britain or if you've grown up in one of the Commonwealth countries, then you've grown up loving Tintin. And Steven Spielberg did a version of The Adventures of Tintin, I want to say about 6-7 years ago. And that movie did not do well in the US, presumably because people were not familiar with who Tintin is. But really, I mean, I saw it about a few months ago and it holds up remarkably well. It's so much fun. It's gorgeous colors and accents and it's truly an adventure. Even if you know nothing about Tintin, go watch The Adventures of Tintin. It's an animated movie directed by Steven Spielberg. It's just fun. It's comforting stuff to watch. And it's on Amazon Prime.
Lovely.
An obvious pick for me, if we're talking about Amazon movies, is A Quiet Place. So we know that the sequel was all set for release this year, if it wasn't for the
And current... it's not called Another Quiet Place, is it?
A Very Quiet Place.
A Quieter Place. A
slightly more noisy place. No, it's called Quiet Place 2, of all things.
It should have been called A Quieter Place.
But the original movie is available for free if you have an Amazon Prime account. So really, if you haven't seen that, then do. It's quite a thing. I'm still annoyed at the existence of the sequel, even though apparently it is quite good. I'm ambivalent about them, you know, pushing out the timelines. I get to enjoy the uniqueness of A Quiet Place a little longer. And then the other pick I had was my favorite movie of the year before last, which is A Simple Favor. That's right there on Netflix, on Amazon, there for streaming.
Really good movie.
I mean, the quality of the movies on Amazon, don't forget, you know, people tend to think about, it gets overshadowed by Netflix, right? But they have an amazing selection.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm looking down the list here, Lady Bird.
Lady Bird is so good.
Lincoln Lawyer, which we all loved a couple of years ago.
Watch Lincoln Lawyer, folks.
Creed 2. I mean, there's just such a fabulous selection.
And while we're talking about populist movies, I think my favorite of all the 29 or so Marvel movies, and God knows Marvel movies don't need more advertising or more pushing from us, but my favorite is the original Captain America movie, the first Avenger.
You did love that. Yeah.
I love that movie so much. It's so perfect. And I love the whole sensibility of Captain America, which is very square and good-minded. That movie is free and to stream on Prime as well. So if you feel marvelous, then Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, if we're all on lockdown for a month or so, even to try Prime streaming, you know, there's so much content. Well, I hope what we've demonstrated to you is that there's a ton of content and it's varied, right? Binge-worthy shows, docs, and movies.
Here's the thing with Prime, you know, many of us have Amazon Prime for the free ship, not the free shipping, but the expedited shipping that they offer, right? That's why
not
we...
toilet paper at the moment.
Well, not expedited at least. But they have this extra service that they just throw in, and it's at least good a value as Netflix. I mean, you know, Netflix produces a whole lot more original content. Amazon has its original content, and that does well too. But really, it's kind of a bargain.
I mentioned were originals.
Just have it. Yeah. I mean, they produced The Farewell last year, which is also
streaming.
Lovely right movie.
And they, you know,
The Farewell, guys. The Farewell. Write it down. Of course, you watched it, but if you haven't.
Super 8, Midsommar. Yeah, there's just a lot.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing I go by is sometimes I will watch any movie that is distributed by A24 because, you know, they've seldom gone wrong.
Or Neon,
yeah. So usually...
two really good production companies.
They're newer distribution companies, but they have a very astute eye when it comes to... even if it's not, you know, the most... popular movie, there's a reason why A24 or Neon have picked it up, and it'll almost always be worth your time. They're always gems. I mean, the way they curate and pick their movies is
they're doing a great
incredible job. Yeah. So if you're not sure, just search for A24 on your or Neon on your Amazon Prime and see what movies come up. And
we don't often recommend horrors, but all the Blumhouse horrors are quite interesting and fun as well.
Cabin in the Woods, which plays with all the tropes of horror, and it's almost too clever for its own good. That one's on here as well.
It's Joss Whedon, I think.
Yes, it was Joss. Yeah.
Okay, so on to Netflix. Okay. Netflix picks. Okay, so I have too many here. So Yazdi, why don't you start off Netflix?
No,
otherwise, I will be like talking about.
Are we doing TV shows or movies?
No, I'm doing binge-worthy series.
Okay.
That's what people want to do, binge-watch series. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to read them all out.
Yes.
The Kominsky Method, Ozark, which is probably the best series you can watch on TV at the moment.
Yeah, I initially thought that Ozark was too mopey and too depressing, but I've heard since then that's not the case, and it's excellent.
Season 3 has just released, I think, on the 7th of March, and I'm saving myself. Master of None.
I'm sorry. Jason Bateman and Laura Linney are unimprovable.
Phenomenal. And then and they play a married couple in this, which seems unlikely, but it works so well.
Okay.
Master of None.
Yes, with Aziz Ansari.
More of a dramedy comedy. More comedy than dramedy, but it's very, very good. And I describe it more as kind of like life as a single person, Yazdi. What do you think?
Yeah,
it's more comedy than drama.
It's more comedy than drama. That's what I was saying, yeah. Better Call Saul. Now, season 5 of Better Call Saul, which is the Vince Gilligan...
Breaking Bad spin-off.
Season 5 is currently playing on FX. So if you want to catch up and binge watch all 4 seasons before... Oh, is it AMC? I thought it was on FX. It's AMC, you're right.
Sorry, AMC.
Sorry, FX. if you want to catch up, then you can be in sync with season 5. Russian Doll. Joe and I found this by accident, and we liked it because the lead character was someone on... she was on... Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, and she's done great.
It's kind of like a time loop, interesting.
It's very well written.
Really well written series. Okay. One other one, if you are looking for something challenging and it's very timely, it's called Delhi Crime. And it is about the horrific gang rape case that took place in Delhi. It's amazingly written and directed and acted. And actually, it's very timely because all of the men were brought to justice today. They actually hung. It's 7 years later. I've just read the headline that four out of six of the horrible, horrible criminals were brought to justice. Anyway, Delhi Crime is the unraveling and catching of them, and it is breathtakingly good. And it's a really difficult subject, but it's done so well. Delhi Crime. That's all of my Netflix binge-worthy series.
Yeah, I would recommend The Good Place. It took me forever, almost a full season, to get into this.
Me too.
Initially, I just couldn't get into the rhythms of it. But now that I am, I really like it. I really like it. And I think...
I don't know anything about it.
It's Kristen Bell.
It's Kristen Bell, Ted Danson. And there's a couple of British actors, Jamila, somebody. But It's by the person who wrote and directed Parks and Rec. And Parks and Rec, by the way, is on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
But essentially, The Good Place, once it starts to build, it becomes so metaphysical, and it's about creation, and it's about what's good and what's evil and what's heaven and what's hell and all of this stuff. But The Good Place is a place where after you die, if you've done good things in life,
you go to
The Good Place. And Kristen Bell's character, by mistake, she's not really a good person, by mistake happens to be assigned to The Good Place.
That's a great premise.
It's a great, and it grows from there. And then every season has a kind of a gimmick up its sleeve where things kind of flip on its behind. So it's very, very ambitious in that it's taking on an entirely new world, new perspective, new characters, new rules. And it's quite fun. Yeah.
Yeah, not my favorite again, Yazdi. Mm. I mean, I've watched the first 2 seasons and I can't say I'm itching to watch it. Mm. But you did remind me that there is a really good limited series with Maya Rudolph. Fred Armistead, called Forever, which only has 6 episodes, very easy to watch back on Amazon Prime. Okay. So it's called Forever, same sort of premise about heaven or what heaven may be.
Okay.
And it's really good. Yeah, it's eight episodes. That's it. That's the season.
Okay.
So not as long as The Good Place, but similar.
But it's hilarious?
It's not laugh out loud. There are laugh out loud moments.
Okay.
It's not as comedic as The Good Place.
Okay.
But it's much deeper about relationships.
Okay. Okay.
Very sorry, good. I stopped you.
No, that's fine. No, that's fine.
Any other series you want to recommend, Yazdi?
No, I mean, there are a few series, but I will go through them when it's my turn.
Okay. All right.
Again, to throw in a few obvious picks here that Rashmi, you didn't mention, the thing that started it all really for Netflix in terms of original content, House of Cards. If you haven't watched seasons 1 and 2 in particular, I think it does drop off a little in quality with later seasons, although I admit to having not watched season 5. But seasons 1 and 2 were among the best written television I can remember for the respective years that they came out. That was really powerful stuff. And yes, I know it stars a now disgraced Kevin Spacey. You know, if you can put that to the side for a minute and just recognize it for the body of work that it is, it truly was excellent.
I mean, on behalf of, you know, everybody from my family who visits me, all they can ever watch, and literally my Netflix queue right now has Scandal-related things because they watch so much Scandal. My sister and my nieces, every time, that's all they want to watch. And
I've never watched even one episode, Yazdi. What's it like?
I've through osmosis watched some of it because, you know, it's playing while we're having dinner or cooking or whatever. It's one of these Shonda Rhimes things. It's always very, very, very soapy. So if that kind of bothers you, then you shouldn't watch it. Like, you know,
oh my God, I fell in love with my sister
or whatever. It's really soapy. And you know, like your best friend turns out to be a murderer or whatever. But it, you know.
People, it has a huge following.
It has a huge following. I do like Kerry Washington. I do.
I have no reason not to, but I just don't.
She's lovely. She reminds me a little bit of Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Oh, there you go.
I can see that. Yes, I can see that a lot.
By the way, Kerry Washington right now is on a show on Hulu with Reese Witherspoon. The two of them are co-leading that, and it's called Little Fires Everywhere. It's based on a book which I've read, which is incredible, and I can't... That's probably the only reason why I'll sign up to Hulu is during this time right now, is probably to watch Little Fires Everywhere. But Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. Okay.
Can I just throw one more in, which is Afterlife with Ricky Gervais?
Yes. Great.
So huge fan of Ricky Gervais's earlier work, you know, Office and Extras in particular.
Office, yes.
Afterlife is extraordinarily dark, but it's done with the kind of humor that is unique to Ricky Gervais, and it's very insightful humor. It asks us to cast a light on everything that we understand to be sacred in many ways. And, you know, he's been very outspoken about the fact that there can be humor in various situations. And the premise of the show is essentially, you know, it's about a guy whose wife has passed away, who struggles to find any kind of meaning in his life and the world. And so, you know, despite all of that, you know, the series ends actually, you know, on a generally positive tone. And it's got a second season, which I'm delighted to know is coming out at the end of April. So Afterlife would be another recommendation there.
Another Netflix original show, which always gets really, really good critical reviews, is Mindhunter. And I haven't gotten around to seeing it.
I've downloaded it so many times and never got around to watching it.
Yeah,
I've
heard great things. And it's set in the 70s. It's about this group of people who are hired to find, a serial murderer. And so they kind of interact with a lot of other people who are similarly inclined to get a clue, similar to Silence of the Lambs almost. But I've heard great things about it. And David Fincher, who hasn't made a movie in a long time, has directed a lot of episodes of Mindhunter. So that alone for me is reason to kind of try and catch up on it. So that's on my list. The only reason why I haven't gotten to it is because the subject matter seems so dark.
It's not happy stuff, is it?
It's not happy stuff. So it's kind of prevented me from getting to it. But for all the Kathy Lee's and other who kind of seek this out, Kathy Lee is a friend of ours who gravitates towards the darker elements.
She loved.
Yeah.
The scarier, the better.
The scarier, the weirder, the more supernatural, the better. So this one's for you, Kathy. Okay.
Okay. Netflix documentaries. Mm-hmm. American Factory, which just won the Oscar, mm-hmm. and produced by the Obamas. Mm-hmm. Bikram, I spoke about this maybe about two or three mm-hmm. Podcasts ago. It was one of my streaming recommendations. And The Great Hack, which was about the 2016 election and the data company that was involved in perhaps skewing the result or influencing the result greatly. Yeah. All dark.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Not supernatural, just dark. They should be called documentaries.
Yeah. The one documentary that I did watch and we haven't spoken with on Netflix is Fry. And it's about the Fry Music Festival.
Yes, that watched that.
Did you watch it?
We did.
It was very eye-opening. Remember
the festival where they all just looking vacant?
Fire, you mean?
Fire.
The fire.
Fire, festival. Yes. Not Fry.
Sorry, Fry is what fire. We're
yes.
dreaming of eating. Fried anything. Fire, yes. Fire.
Yes, oh, great pick.
F-Y-R-E.
Yes.
It rang true yesterday. I was like, I can't remember.
Really
I was like,
blank.
Fry. Fry. I was like, I know there was one just like that. Okay.
Fire. Yes.
Great documentary. Yeah. Yeah.
It was just eye-opening. It's like a perfect storm of things which... could not have
literally
gotten
it was
any
a
worse.
Storm yeah. yeah
literally a storm
yeah
just it's inept people, poor organization, greed, everything's
it's
here.
Got everything it's in got it everything. Yeah. yeah another yeah. documentary yeah. Any others to add, Joe?
Two documentary series to add in. One was Inside Bill's Brain. This is the three-part series about Bill Gates, and essentially the three-part documentary is about the history of and the mind of Bill Gates, what an extraordinary individual he is now. You know, this isn't about him being some, you know, crazy business genius or some, you know, world philanthropist. It's really gets inside kind of, you know, the person he is, what makes him tick. And yes, it does cover many of those topics, but I found this just fascinating, endlessly fascinating. I'm obviously a tech fan and you know, was always curious as to how
are they talking with people who knew him.
Yeah, and he's in it too, so you know, he's been granted access to, you know, him and Melinda Gates in particular, members of his family, and they really just talk about the kind of person how he is and what an extraordinary individual he is. So I loved that one. The other documentary series I'm going to recommend is one that I am literally savoring at this point in time. So anyone that knows me knows, you know, my obsession with cars and motor racing. There is a series called Formula One, Drive to Survive. And it follows two seasons of Formula One, so the 2018 and the 2019 seasons. And it's just such a well-made documentary about the inside of the sport. Yes, you have to kind of understand the sport to some extent to understand what it is, but it's so well assembled. It talks about the stakes of the smaller teams. There are some personalities behind the scenes that we never get to see because it's all about the drivers when you watch the seasons. And it's delicious. And, you know, it's all the more necessary at this point in time because, you know, again, because of the uniqueness of the 2020 start of the year, we're losing about five or six Formula One races, so the season's pushed out. So Formula One, Drive to Survive. But it's truly excellent, and I don't think you have to be an avid motor racing fan to really enjoy it.
I don't know.
Well, that was harsh.
Okay, so I think you have to be an avid motor racing fan to enjoy it.
Yeah. I think you have to have some interest in the sport. It's not so compelling for the 10 minutes that I could watch with you.
With your cell phone, not paying attention to it. So, I mean, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But
I think if you have interest in the sport, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah. One that I've heard a lot about and I can't wait to get on, I've heard it from very reliable sources, is the show. It's a Spanish show. And it's called Money Heist.
Ooh.
And I've heard incredible things from people saying, you know, you need to watch it right away. And it's supposed to be this, as the name suggests, this great heist and what happens to the people before and after. Almost like a Lucky Logan, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, Steven Soderbergh.
Logan Lucky.
Okay, Netflix movies. The Irishman, Good Time, Goodfellas. And I assume everyone's watched Goodfellas, but it's always great to watch again and again and again. And The Two Popes.
The Two Popes, yes. You should watch The Two Popes if you haven't.
So The Irishman and Two Popes were literally just out at the cinema. And Good Time was on last year. And it was the previous one by the Safdie brothers who just did Uncut Gems.
Right.
Yeah. Joe?
I mean, this is impossible. There are so many things. But I think, you know, I'm going to pick my obvious ones.
Interstellar?
Inception is out on Netflix. Inception. It had a second run.
Jen, you almost made it.
I know. Interstellar's not there for some reason. That's too bad.
They can only handle one Chris Nolan at a time.
The wonderful, fabulous movie Hell or High Water that came out a couple of years ago. Okay, Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine, Ben Foster.
Yes. If anybody's listening, if there's one movie you must watch, forget everything else. It's Hell or High Water. It's just perfect.
It's mind-blowingly
good. And probably, you know, fans of people listening to the podcast have probably seen this already. But nonetheless, what a superb movie that was that year.
And then, Chris Pine?
Chris Pine, yeah.
Like, we've never seen him.
Yeah, and
A really, really good, meaty role that's so unlike Captain Kirk or...
It's
not vain at all.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges is in it. Chris Cooper is in it. It's a heist movie in a way, but it's so authentic and it's a very Americana movie. It's a moral kind of evaluation. It's brilliant. Hell or High Water. Please. Money back guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then the final pick on my list of three, which is impossibly hard to do with Netflix, but has to be a little movie that's gotten under my skin. I recommend it to everyone. I've probably recommended it at least three times for a VOD pick, but I'm going to say it anyway, which is Ma Vie de Courgette, which is My Life as a Zucchini.
Yes, it was on my list,
It's a beautiful little animated movie. It's French. It's very French in its sensibilities, I have to say. And it's somewhat melancholy in its tone. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten under my skin for some reason.
Because it's beautiful.
I watched it very, very casually once, but it pulled me into its little world and has kept me there ever since. Yes. So
feel good, Yazdi?
I'd say so. It's very real.
And it's a very easy watch. It's just over an hour in length.
It's beautiful. You know.
And I identified with it because I was that kid. You know, it's about a kid who is kind of shunned by everybody else. And God, that makes it sound horrible. But it's about a kid who doesn't fit in. Let's just say that. It's lovely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I also, while you're talking about animated movies, I will add my recommendation for a movie which was nominated last year for Best Animated Film, did not win. It won, I think, the Golden Globe, but didn't. Ultimately, the Oscar went to Frozen 2 or something, right? I don't even remember what won Best Animated Movie, but Netflix original French movie called I Lost My Body, which I really like.
Really liked it.
The more I think about it, the more it grows on me. It's very adult, though. It's very adult. It's not for kids.
It's not a family movie.
Well, it's not that it has any objectionable content, but it's very philosophical, and it's just rendered beautifully. It's kind of almost intentionally a little opaque, but I don't know. It takes you on a journey that is unexpected. The premise is unexpected and kind of leaves you with a lot of questions. I really have a lot of fondness for.
Animations?
Yeah. I lost my body.
I lost the name of the movie for a while.
I was like, what?
I lost my body. I lost my brain for a second. Yeah. Yes.
And I'll just add one more animation. It's not a happy movie, but it's a great animation. Again, it's quite adult. The Breadwinner.
Yes.
Which is just stunning. Amazing.
Keep that box of tissues close
to you. Yeah. That's interesting. Three animations that aren't really children's movies that we've all loved. Okay, Yazdi, go for it now.
So I've already commented on a lot of things as you came up. But again, my, you know, in preparation for this show, my thinking was, again, let me come up with movies that are, or movies or shows or what have you, that kind of make you feel a little bit better about the world. So I'm going to start with my first recommendation, which is a series on Netflix. And it's silly and it's stupid and it's goofy and it...
Jackass 3.
No. But, you know, it just got its claws in me, and then it was too late and I had to see it through. And that, I know a lot, it's been recommended a lot, but I'm going to say it again. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch Schitt's Creek. It's just very silly. It has nothing much to say about anything, but it's like comfort soup. It's like that big bowl of chicken soup.
It's quite clever, actually. Yeah. It's one that took me a whole season to actually understand. And I think it was maybe the penultimate show of the first season where I had that switch in my brain. And I was like, gosh, that's actually quite clever. It's kind of a fish out of water. It talks a lot about wealth and class and entitlement.
Yeah.
But it's so not about that as you watch it.
It's not.
But that's really what it's about. And it's quite clever.
It's very clever. And I think it's, in its own way, it's very, very old-fashioned, because it's making a case for, you know, it's laughing at you know, high society and high, you know. So the premise of the whole show is that a very Kardashians-like family, super rich, super entitled, you know, rubbing shoulders with the top people in the world. In the very first episode, because of a bad dealing with their business partner, they lose all their money. And so a little town that the father had bought almost as a joke, because it's called Schitt's Creek, is the only...
S-C-H-I-T-T-S.
Yeah, not shit like...
Schitt's Creek.
Like poop, but S-C-H-I-T-T. But of course, it's funny because it sounds like shit. So the father had bought that town just because he was giggled by the name of it. They have to move to this little town in the middle of nowhere and live in this...
You motel. Know,
godforsaken motel. And, yeah. And the kids are like the Kardashian kids. And you see all of their evolution as the seasons move ahead. And
I like the father-son duo. So it's the guy...
Dan Levy and Eugene Levy.
Yeah, Eugene Levy, you know, from all the American Pie.
Yeah. And the great, great, great uncelebrated comedian, Catherine O'Hara, plays the mom. And Catherine O'Hara, if you remember, played the mother, like, gosh, 20 years ago in the Home Alone movies. She was also in Beetlejuice and other movies. So Schitt's Creek, it's a sweet little Canadian show. And I watched all 5 episodes on Amazon.
Series. Seasons.
All 5 seasons, thank you. There's a 6th and final season, which is playing, I think, right now in Canada. And I'm waiting for the last season to show up on Netflix.
So I think I'm at, like, season 3.
Oh, yeah. So I would actually recommend... If you watch the first 2 episodes and if you don't get into it, then jump straight ahead into, like you said, first episode of season 2.
Yeah.
Because it really kind of gets
into high gear.
It kicks into high gear.
Yeah. I remember you struggled through the first season.
Yeah, but I was like, I've got to get through this. Everyone is saying,
yeah,
this is so good.
Yeah. The other thing I want to recommend is something which is, in fact, yesterday I was watching all these news stories about the coronavirus one after the other, and how, you know, 100% of people who get the coronavirus above 85 years of age are going to die. It's just all so dire and grim. I needed something really sweet, and
like
I found
this show.
What?
Like this show.
Like this show. But I was looking on Netflix for something sweet, and this little gift came to me. I knew it was coming, but it just got released on Netflix. And that's the new season of Shaun the Sheep.
Oh,
so so the new season.
I didn't know the old season was there.
The old season is also.
So you've already done service now, yes.
Yeah, so if you haven't, you have to catch Shaun the Sheep. There's Shaun the Sheep Farmageddon, which was the movie.
That was great.
Which was so
I
good.
Loved it.
Anything by Aardman Studios is just
adorable.
Delightful.
Just adorable.
Yeah. So, where is Chicken Run?
Yeah, Chicken
I wonder Run. If Chicken,
Chicken
Run's
Run,
like
I bet
somewhere.
Is on somewhere. But Shaun the Sheep episodes are literally like 10 or 11 minutes each. Shaun the Sheep is about this very, very clever sheep who lives on a little farm, and there's the human owner, and then there is a dog, And there is absolutely no dialogue in the whole thing. It's all done through gestures and facial expressions, and there is elaborate plots. And considering the whole thing is done by claymation, by handmade clay, it's a work of labor, it's a work of love. It's as simple as it gets. It'll fill up your heart. Do yourself a favor, watch any of the Shaun the Sheep. And it's Shaun, S-H-A-U-N, Shaun the Sheep, any of those adventures, they're all on Netflix.
Fantastic.
The third thing that I want to recommend is a movie which came out, gosh, about 2 or 3 years ago. I had seen it. I think it was Peru's submission for Best Foreign Film at the time. And that movie's really stuck with me. And it's a movie called The Way He Looks. And it's about, it's so note perfectly done that it's really stuck with me. It's a sweetheart of a movie. It's about, it's a South American movie, and it's about this kid who is just going into high school, and he's blind. He's unable to, he's like 13 or 14, and he's, you know, he's visually challenged, and his parents really struggle with giving him the freedom to kind of enjoy his life as a teenager, while at the same time being concerned for his safety and concerned about people taking advantage of him, because he's not going to a special, you know, visually impaired school. He's just going to a regular school. And his best friend since he was a little kid is this girl, and the two of them are inseparable, and they're really the best and best of friends. And then at school, the two of them meet this other boy who becomes friends with the three of them. And it's as simple as that, and how sometimes the introduction of a third person changes the dynamics of all of them. And it's the sweetest, kindest, gentlest movie. It kind of makes
you wish for... what we said about Yazdi.
Makes you wish, oh, it makes you wish for a better world. So The Way He Looks, and it's a spin on the word. It's a spin on the phrase The Way He Looks, because he actually cannot look.
Right.
Because he's visually impaired. But it's just great. And then I think if you have a lot of free time, you know, now with everybody working from home and
no commuting time.
No commuting time. Cinemas being closed. You have free time.
No gyms.
No gyms, no restaurants, nothing. I think now's a really good time to explore movies from a country that you have never explored before. So, you know, my personal goal is, I've heard so much about Romanian cinema. There's been great movies coming out of that. So I would love to do that. But me having been born and brought up in India, I think now would be a great time, if you've never gotten into Indian cinema, to jump into it. And there's like a wealth of movies on Netflix alone. So there's movies like Three Idiots, which
Fantastic. It
doesn't get great any better movie. Than that. There's a Dil Chata Hai, which means What the Heart Wants. Again, unimprovable. Andhadhun, which is too smart for its own good. Bahubali 2, which is
fantastic.
As silly and over the top and fantastic. You have not seen anything.
It's Comic-Con-esque.
You have not seen anything like Bahubali 2.
It's so fun.
Padmavat, which is this amazing historical drama. It's like candy for your eyes. Your eyes will be like, oh, I cannot bear so much beauty. That's on
Amazon Prime.
Ye Javani Hai Diwani, which means... we will put all these names on our show notes, which is this adult, progressive story about friendships between, and it takes a group of friends and watches them at three different stages in their life. Wake Up Sid is another movie. There's just, now is a great time.
I've heard, is really good.
Barfi is really good. Razi, another movie, which is based on a true story of a woman from India who was working for a spy, and she got married to a person from Pakistan to send back secrets to India, and you know what she had to face. So there's a wealth of wonderful Indian cinema.
Can I add a couple?
Get into it. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Jodha Akbar, which
Jodha
is
Akbar.
Just gonna say a huge epic, not too dissimilar from Padmavat, which was also an excellent choice. And Lagan. Lagan is up here.
Lagan
on,
is excellent.
Which I believe was on best...
It was picked for...
Picked for best movie that year.
For best foreign film.
Foreign film. Yeah. And then a movie that I don't think I've seen, but I know the song so well that I'm going to throw it out anyway. You throw it out there anyways. Om Shanti Om.
Om Shanti Om is...
Which I know...
It's the perfect package. It's masala at its best. It's so good. You have to watch Om Shanti Om. You'll love it.
It's good, yeah.
You'll love actually, it.
Om Shanti Om.
Yeah, even, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I know. Not, being the non-Indian in the group, it's just, I've heard it. It's such a catchy song.
Oh, Om Shanti Om is you know, a reincarnation and story it, as told to Bollywood.
Deepika
Padukone's first movie. It's a debut movie, film. Right? She plays double roles, as does Shah Rukh Khan. It's it doesn't get better in terms of entertainment than that particular movie.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's a great choice.
So yeah, and you know, there are great Korean movies. I mean, I've watched a lot of great French movies. So if there is one particular kind of movies that have always evaded you, just go for it. There's so much content between Netflix Prime and Hulu as well. I'd say try Korean or Indian or...
Japanese.
Great
Japanese movies.
Great job. Departures was a wonderful Japanese movie. You know, just use this opportunity, I would say, to kind of branch into a new country of filmmaking, and it'll give you...
Even a new service. I mean, you know, Disney Plus is out there, as I mentioned earlier on in the thing, but Apple TV has Apple has an Apple TV Plus, mm-hmm. which has got some very well-regarded series there, including The Morning Show, which won a bunch of awards earlier this year, I think, at the Emmys. So, yeah, tons of stuff. My word.
Lots of stuff to watch, yes.
And just to forget about Hulu, but The Handmaid's Tale. Yes. We don't actually have a lot of access to Hulu, so Handmaid's Tale is great. Yeah,
the words
great.
Were too cheap to pay for a subscription. Correct. But
I wasn't going to go there,
Jeff. But it's $5.99 a month.
It's $5.99 a month.
Yeah,
now,
and then Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, I've heard so much about it.
It's a great show. I haven't seen a whole season, but I've watched maybe half a season, and it's great. Really well written. It's another cop show set in Brooklyn, but it's hilarious. Made for laughs, right? It's playing for laughs, and it's got a great cast, and it's just super witty. Yeah. It's like Parks and Recreation, the police station in Brooklyn. Yeah. It's great if you like that type of humor.
Excellent. Okay. I think
we have about 100 recommendations.
I think we've done a lot. That's a
good amount to get started with, and hopefully that will take us a good way into our lockdown. I think the point we're trying to make here is, you know, obviously we're sad that we can't go and enjoy one of our favorite things, which is being in the movie theaters, and which I know all of you listening to this podcast also enjoy. But, you know, again, we have many, many other options to devour this kind of content. And frankly, you know, the world seems like a terrible place if all you're watching all day is CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and all of these other 24-hour news stations that are pumping in how terrible a situation we're in right now. Yes, we are.
Not to underestimate it.
Don't be in denial. But at the same time, it's healthy for us to just switch our minds into a different gear for a couple hours a day. And that's all we're trying to do here. So, our service to you, the listeners.
Yes, indeed.
Is to get you out of the pandemic funk into which we might fall. And, you know, practice social distancing, but don't be alone. Watch movies with us.
Yes. Oh, I should say that there is an app. I think it's Netflix adjacent, but it's not supported by Netflix. It's called www.netflixparty.com. Oh. And what it lets you do is if you have one online Netflix account, several people can watch the same movie at the same time.
How and
you
nice.
Can you can comment together, you can talk with each other, just like, you know, you would all be in a room and making annoying comments about, you know, about what you're watching on the screen. So it's I think it's a good service that, you know, if there's a group of friends that normally go and watch a movie, now you can all watch a Netflix show or a movie together and annoy each other like you normally do, but you can do it remotely.
Yeah, and then you were going to also tell us about the thing from Digital Gym.
Yes, so for those of us who are in San Diego, the Digital Gym has been a movie that has been a movie theater, which has been around for at least the last 2 or 3 years. It's a small micro cinema. It's got about 43 seats. And Rashmi, you just informed me that they are going to start They're doing a collaboration with a content provider, and because the Digital Gym is closed, like many of the other theaters, they are going to be allowing free screening of certain foreign films. So the kind of movies which normally show at the door at the Digital Gym are non-mainstream movies, foreign films, documentaries, and so forth.
They were the only ones to show Roma in San Diego, correct, at the beginning of its run.
Correct. And the one great thing that they do is a lot of movies kind of come off theaters from regular theaters very quickly because, you know, other newer movies come on and, mm-hmm. and they will show them at the Digital Gym. And then the San Diego Italian Film Festival and the San Diego Latino Film Festival, they all kind of will occasionally show movies there. Beth Accomando has her series. She does two film series every year in San Diego, and those are done at the Digital Gym as well. So watch out for that particular a service coming through as a, you know, as a, you know, as something from the Digital Gym. And I should also, I guess, bring up the fact that one of the oldest marquee cinemas in San Diego, the original landmark cinema in San Diego, was the Ken. Mm-hmm. And for many of us, younger generation, the Ken has held a special place in our heart because it's the only place in town where you can see the Oscar-nominated shorts and the Oscar-nominated animated movies, etc.
Yeah.
Well, the lease on the Ken has run out, and they're going to be shutting down pretty soon. They were going to shut down a few years ago, and they were saved last minute. So this time they're going to be shutting down pretty soon, but there are a couple of people locally who are trying to do some creative thinking and try and save the Ken. Keep listening. We'll keep you updated. There is a possibility the Digital Gym folks might take over the Ken and show some movies there because it's a larger cinema. So there's a lot of things brewing. So
hopefully
be looking out for that. It's
a genuine piece of history here in San Diego.
Yeah.
So be sad it's to quite see
something,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to rally and preserve it.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's a bumper show. What have we done? An hour and a half?
An hour and 6 minutes. So thank you again for listening. Hopefully you got some ideas for this. I mean, we'll try and divvy the show up and provide some detailed notes for those movie names in case you you didn't catch them as we went along. I started writing them down, but then couldn't keep up with the amazing choices. So as I say, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. And that's kind of a very true statement right now. We have a global challenge, but we'll all prevail and pull through it and be entertained and educated and enlightened.
And can we end on a happy note in that if you feel like it, there is a website called www.howmuchtoiletpaper.com.
No.
Brilliant.
And you can go in there and it'll help you calculate just how much toilet paper you need so you don't go and strip bare your local stores. And
seriously, what is it with people and toilet paper?
Yeah. So howmuchtoiletpaper.com.
If you're out there hoarding toilet paper, shame on you.
Yes.
Schitt's Creek.
Yes, please watch Schitt's Creek, talking of toilet paper.
Okay, well, okay. Too many movies indeed, too little time. So again, if like us, you're missing the movie theater, don't. We'll be back soon enough. And I guess we'll see how long the current situation lasts and we'll practice our social distancing. We can maybe, if this episode was useful, if you liked it, please let us know. If you didn't like it, well, too bad. You'll probably get another one because we can't help ourselves. Too many movies, too little time. Goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.
Be safe.